Stories at townhall.com.
On I-295 North at 103rd Street, there's an accident involving a truck. 295 South at Gate Parkway. Broken down car. Driver is now missing. Police and road rangers, it looks like, on the scene on the traffic cams. And at I-10 East at 295, look out for a wreck on the right side of the highway. It'll be warm and humid today, and then thunderstorms by afternoon. A high around 90, partly cloudy this evening. 76 the low. Right now it's 77 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A strong U.S. economy will contribute to the expected rise in travel this holiday week here in Florida, according to AAA. Starting this week, it'll be a new budget and dozens of new laws that are poised to take effect here in the Sunshine State. And President Trump says he will have a Supreme Court nominee by July 11th.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
That's July 9th.
I said 11th?
Yeah, you said 11th. Yikes. That's okay. No, okay. I think you got we have a big event going on the 11th coming up. All the elected officials and stuff like that, so okay. That's fine. But no big deal. Listen, if I don't do it, I'll get 20 emails saying, hey, I heard a 9th, 11th, so anyway.
Okay, thank
just
you.
Making sure. That's okay, man. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is 8 a.m. hour, all the way with you to 9 a.m. right here on Talk Radio WBOB. So the president has been winning. He's been doing well with the economy. Some would say North Korea. The latest numbers out there, Roger, on the polls show them about 47%, almost 50%, especially when you break it down, the logistics of the economy and other issues. People give the president high remarks. Even it pained Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. He says Trump is winning. The Democrats seem to be a little bit reeling here. But he says, not to really show our true colors here, the president's, all his success is superficial. Clip number 3.
The announced retirement of Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy this week helped make one political reality clear. Despite his overall unpopularity, President Trump is winning. And the Democrats right now are reeling. How about the Republican Party? The president's approval rating among Republicans is around 90%. Elected Republicans fear criticizing him, and the party has become a cult of personality. His. How about fake news? Mr. Trump has turned that phrase, which initially referred to the phony Russian-generated stories designed to support his campaign in 2016, into an applause line now to discredit responsible reporting showcasing his misdeeds.
Yeah, I think that is funny. It's the fake news and the credible reporting out there, and he's still calling it fake news. Well, here's the question. If the Fox is watching the Hen House, who's watching the Fox? Not Fox News. I'm talking about the Fox. You know. So who's watching the news and all that?
Probably Donald Trump's Twitter account. Probably
here's
the
more
best
of the clip.
We can come up with.
The Mueller investigation. The president has succeeded in convincing millions that the investigation is biased, despite trafficking only in innuendo and not providing evidence.
Wait a second. They haven't come out with anything. Remember, this is longer than the 9/11 commission. Let's remind everybody. Mm-hmm. And remember, if somehow Trump has convinced millions of people that that's even fake. Let's remind, again, according to the Wall Street Journal, NBC, which we've reported on the show, Democrat pollster Peter Hart interviewing Trump and Hillary Clinton supporters, saying even that a lot of those people just don't buy into there's something there. Not that they're fans of Trump, they just want the issue to move on. Mark Penn, former Clinton pollster, they've all reported the same thing.
Then there's the economy. It is doing well. But it was doing well.
Oh, wait. Okay, folks, I mean, it pains the media. The economy's doing well, but who gets credit for it?
Then there's the economy. It is doing well. But it was doing well before he took office. Yet with unemployment down and jobs being created, President Trump is getting this credit.
Okay, so you've got a stock market, which is, you know, getting tremendous numbers since Trump, about a 26% rate of return, even despite, you know, the downfall with some of the areas of talking about tariffs. You've got an all-time high of small business optimism. The majority right now in the last, 12-plus years that Americans think that this country is moving forward in the right direction. You've all the positive signs out there, but he doesn't get any credit for it, Roger.
You know what? Records were set back in December after the Trump tax cuts were announced, with retail as well as online purchasing. And even people like Amazon and Apple Computer gave their employees $1,000 bonuses just before the Christmas season, thanking the president essentially for the tax plan.
I mean, you have now a second quarter right now. Or now we're going to the third quarter of GDP, mm-hmm. which is almost at 4%. CNBC, around 3.6, 3.9, depending on the week, but almost at a 4%. President Obama, the overall was 1.9. Some quarters he had around 3, but what I'm getting at, this is starting to show a trend here. But so my question I like to ask liberals, okay, fine, let's have this debate. Tell me the breakdowns where Obama should get credit and then Trump shouldn't get any credit.
Right, right. You think about it. You lose your credibility, I think, when you're the mainstream media and you don't point these things out and you say the economy was already doing great.
Still, much of Mr. Trump's success is superficial. But if the Democrats' reaction this week to the Kennedy retirement proved anything, it's that the Democratic Party has not figured out how to succeed in the Trump era.
And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But here's another thing I'd like to ask. I mean, where does the president again not get credit? I mean, let's go back to the days of Barack H. Obama. We were blaming Bush for everything. And let's be honest, he inherited a major mess from President Bush. Now, that could be depending on whatever should be debated of policies and that, which I've always find very fascinating because you break down the logistics of what got us into a great recession out there. But yet, we blame Bush for so many years. But yet, if the quarters were doing well underneath Obama, we give credit to his policies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my question is okay, if Trump owns the health care, which the Dems have said, well, then does he not able to own the economy as well?
Mm-hmm.
What do you differentiate between what Trump owns and what he doesn't own? Does he own the foreign policy? Yeah. Well, then if the approval rating's high among how he's dealing with the Iranians and the Middle East and North Koreas, are we still going to turn around and give that to President Obama credit? Where do you draw the line? I'm asking the left. Where do you guys draw the line of who owns what and what's the timeline of do you own it?
Right, right. I think it comes down to credibility and being honest. And if you're going to try to maintain or at least build credibility, you got to tell the truth.
So, again, very, very generic answer. Thank you there, Roger. Very specific. So anyway, we kid here. The far left has been winning many of the primaries throughout the country. The question is, as we keep asking, will that translate into the generic ballot where they could win in November? This girl, who was her name? She called. What's her name?
Alexandria Cortez.
She calls
spokesmodel for the Democratic Party.
That's right. She calls herself a socialist. Not us. She calls herself that a socialist. CNN's Jake Tapper was asking Illinois Senate Democrat Tammy Duckworth, "Have you guys kind of moved a little bit too far to the left?"
Democratic Party. I think it's the future of the party in the Bronx, where she is. I think that we as legislators need to listen to our constituency.
Are you concerned at all that your party is going too far to the left to either win in the midterms or win back the White House?
Well, I think that you can't win the White House without the Midwest, and I don't think that you can go too far to the left and still win the Midwest coming from a Midwestern state. I think you need to be able to talk to the industrial Midwest. You need to listen to the people there and in order to win an election nationwide.
Now, if that's the case, do you think the Dems have written off the Midwest?
I do not believe they will. No, they're going to have to campaign there. You know, one of their most
What do they campaign on?
I don't know. Possibly labor union rights, that kind of thing. We're going to, I'm not sure, but I'm sure they're going to try to give some type of messaging there because they need the votes.
The media, according to them, Jim Acosta from CNN says the reason why that the Trump people and other conservatives are picking on them is because Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama are no longer around to beat up on.
Well, to some extent, the president, Fox News, they don't have Barack Obama around anymore. They don't have Hillary Clinton, although the president goes after Hillary Clinton a lot, so does Fox News. And so we've sort of replaced Obama and Hillary. They need somebody to attack, and I think that we've sort of filled that role. Part of the issue is I think, instead.
Now that's kind of interesting. Hurrah, President Obama and Hillary are no longer around. Mm-hmm. But he says the reason why they're being attacked, listen to the clip number 5 right here. It's almost he acts like this has never happened before.
Part of the issue is I think, instead of wanting to focus on the president's behavior, they'd rather focus on our reporting on the president's behavior.
This is where it comes across. He says that Fox News, along with this incestuous relationship with President Trump, has supported a, quote, state-supported media. Now you'll hear the clip with that, and he acts like, again, this is brand new, beating up on the media.
There are folks on the conservative side of the spectrum in the media, I refer to them affectionately as the megaphone. They, by and large, just echo what the president wants to hear and what he wants to say. We see that a lot happening over on Fox News. And, what we have in this country right now, Brian, and people need to be aware of it, is we don't have what we have traditionally seen as the media's role in this country is having essentially a free press. We have,
really?
What I would consider to be a system of state-supported media, in that you have a White House, you have a president. They lend so much support to one individual news network, which gives them beneficial coverage.
Wait a second. Wait, Roger. So they get 1 ounce out there from Fox News. By the way, Fox is on cable. Fox is not like on basic, like CBS,
right,
NBC, and ABC. And you mean to tell me that one network somehow is dictating policy for everything else?
That it has changed the nature of what we view as being our system of delivering the news in this country.
Wow.
You know, I think we have a system where one network benefits from a very symbiotic relationship from the White House, and we all have to grapple with that.
Oh, wait. Didn't conservatives, someone maybe rightfully so, make the same argument that they only had one network and maybe a little of several outlets of talk radio,
right,
like what you have here, that they had to deal with all the rest of the crowd, state-sponsored media, along with President Obama? That's kind of funny listening from the left.
It's so obvious that the Fox News Channel is getting under the Main Street media skin, but to be frank, they're giving them way too much credit. They've got way more influence over the American people than Fox News has.
Well, but I mean, when you look at even Howie Kurtz, mm-hmm, had admitted this. He said, hey, listen, you look at the amount of liberals that are on Fox,
right,
compared to the conservatives on CNN and MSNBC. There are more liberals on Fox commentating their, mm-hmm, panels debate than you see on those on CNN and MSNBC.
Right. Now, of course, they're having a discussion. You know, they don't have a solo guy there doing a liberal,
yeah,
show, you know, like you see on some of the other channels. But there is a discussion and there's dialogue.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what to expect from that as well. But at least it is balanced, mm-hmm, from a lot of that. And we'll continue to cover this more as we continue to move along. Your call is coming up next at 222-TALK, 222-8255, 13 minutes after the hour. Talk radio WBOB.
On I-295 North at 103rd Street, we see an accident slowing things down. 295 South at Gate Parkway, a broken down car, and now they can't find the driver anywhere. And 10 East at around 295, look out for an accident there. Traffic brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. I want to encourage you to live your life with a vision for eternity. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Sometimes we can get so caught up in this life that we lose focus on eternity, how real and vibrant life will be throughout eternity. Imagine yourself 10,000 years from now. Many of the things that now seem so important will then be of no value. We can live life now with a focus on eternity, envisioning what will really be important throughout all eternity.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
WBOB tackles the issues.
The anti-war movement in Vietnam, the civil rights movement, in the 60s and early 70s, both of those were much more civil in tone. Even the anti-war movement was more civil in tone, but certainly the civil rights movement among the people who were protesting.
Every day.
Oh, Supreme Court, big ruling in favor of the faith-based pregnancy centers in California. Woo!
WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
It'll be warm and humid for most of the day. Thunderstorms by the afternoon, a high of around 90. Partly cloudy this evening with an overnight low of 76. And currently it's 77 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Starting this week, it'll be a new budget and dozens of new laws that are poised to take effect here in the Sunshine State. President Trump says he'll have a Supreme Court nominee by July 11th. and a strong U.S. economy will contribute to the expected rise in travel this holiday week here in Florida, according to AAA.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
Does that look like July 11th to you?
I said 11th again?
That's July 9th. What is up with you in July 11th?
I thought I said 9th.
No, you said 11th.
Okay.
Trust me, I don't miss anything. Anyway, good morning, guys. 17 minutes after the hour. Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson. Your calls right now at 222-TALK, 222-8255. David, good morning. You're on WBOB. How's it going?
Good morning, Ed. Roger, I'd like to give President Trump a whole lot of credit for following through with his campaign promises. And also, I voted for Trump, and I want to tell you why. It wasn't because of party. It was because he was a contractor. And I knew that, I actually really believe this, Ed, that when he got into office, he was going to apply what he knew and learned in his life. And when he got there, you know, a contractor has a box of tools to do a job. And a lot of times, people open a box of tools, they don't even know what they're for or how to use them. And I really believe when Trump was elected president, he got there and seen all the tools that he knew how to use was not being utilized. He put them into action. He gets up early in the morning. You know, he says, what do y'all need? We got to get some stuff done here. He don't just sit there and look at the plans. He applies it. So I call him a live action president. And that's what stumbles people. He goes to work. And then I believe President Trump is having the time of his life and enjoying service to us as president in this nation.
All right. I mean, to what David just said, there are a lot of those out there that would sit back and say, whether you compare it to the left or moderates like Clinton and Obama, or even that of Ronald Reagan, that he's done more in his first 16, 17 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he's followed through. I think the Heritage Foundation said, what, about 65% of what he, whether you agree with him or not, he said he followed through with what he pledged.
Right. And so that's probably some of the things that get the left a little upset, the fact that he is getting things done that they don't like.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was probably kind of interesting the other day when he goes, I want to thank Anthony Kennedy for stepping down, knowing that it gives me the credibility to appoint somebody, you know, and he did it during my term. I mean, come on. He is pure entertainment out there.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
222-TALK. If Bill Clinton was this way when he was president, his numbers would have been a lot higher. You know. Anyways, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Hey Joe, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Okay. As far as the media complain that Obama and Hillary is not around to beat up on,
yeah,
they just don't get it. Okay, the reason they're getting beat up because the fact that they get caught after one lie and fake news story after another. And they really thought the people, the American people, are stupid. Okay, and they're not. And it's, you know, it's like a kid. It's like your child. If you get caught one lie after another, you know, you're going to get caught. You're going to get called on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's interesting you say this. And I'm going to play another clip from Meet the Press this past week to what Joe was saying about getting caught in a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a lot of news, and I would agree during a Republican primary, Roger, we have him here in Northeast Florida. You have him in the gubernatorial race where, you know, as they say, a line in the sand. I don't know why it was so late. But anyway, that you have a difference between candidates running for office. And when you look at the media, have you ever noticed that it's always the Republicans somehow that the pro-choicers versus the pro-lifers are going to mess things up in a general election? You've got the millennials that everybody believes, instead of voting for the economy, but for LGBT issues, that won't bode well for Republicans. I mean, but yet, listen to clip number two here. This is where the Democrats are in disarray. And even though, as they say, as bad as Trump is, listen to Chuck Todd and Meet the Press.
The Supreme Court fight has exposed a Democratic Party largely united in opposition to the president, but divided over goals, messaging, and tactics. But it's not clear what that plan is. Democrats with 2020 ambitions, eager to win progressive support, are promising the base a fight. But the Senate's Democratic leaders are reluctant to give them that fight. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is stuck on a procedural argument. In 2016, Democrats ridiculed Senator Mitch McConnell's maneuver to deny Obama appointee Merrick Garland a vote before the election. Now, they are adopting the same argument. While three red state Democrats who voted for Justice Neil Gorsuch are up for re-election in states Mr. Trump won, and they met with the president this week. In the House, the defeat of New York Congressman Joe Crowley by a rising star left Democrats with no obvious heir apparent to leader Nancy Pelosi, and the calls for Pelosi to step aside for a new generation of leaders have grown louder. The stakes for Democrats could not be higher. Kennedy's retirement sets in motion the biggest change on the court in half a century.
Now, when David Brat beat, I forget what Eric's name was, back, he was the House Majority Leader, back a couple of years ago. David Brat, who's one of my favorites, he's an economics professor at a college in Virginia. He's part of the House Freedom Caucus. I'm trying to remember what Eric's last name was. Somebody, please let me know what it was, because I've already forgotten what it is. This was a major news thing. Oh, there's problems in the GOP. There's this major uproar, the right wing of the right wing. And yet, you've got one group, and I got to give Chuck Todd, these guys, credit for reporting that one of the top-tier Democrats got beat by far left-wing. She calls herself a socialist out there. Mm-hmm. But the news media likes it because there are a bunch of left-wing libs out there. But having said all of that, do you think that they would have reported if a more moderate to conservative Democrat had defeated the left-wing liberal? No. And why, the question I like to ask is, it's always reported that there's such disarray in the Republicans, but yet you heard from Chuck Todd, they can't seem to get their act together on Kennedy and who's going to be the successor. They can't seem to get their act on other areas. It's because they've got Democrats in many of these red states that want to win re-election,
mm-hmm.
and they're looking out for their best interest out there. So here's my question. Why is it that, let's exclude a Republican primary or a Democrat primary, candidates running against each other. Why is it that if you have a race, oh, the Republicans are in disarray, but yet the Democrats are never in disarray? But why is it that also Republicans can criticize other Republicans, but Democrats criticize other Democrats is not really ever reported?
Sometimes you do see it reported.
Sometimes.
Craig Melvin, for example, was giving President Clinton a hard time with respect to
his... Craig Melvin a Democrat? I didn't realize. I'm talking Democrats, other Democrats.
Well, it came from the mainstream media, so I'm assuming that it would be, you know, a friendly fire, so to speak. And it really got underneath President Clinton's skin.
And we praised him for that. Was a great interview.
Exactly. Oh, gosh.
But I didn't call Craig Melvin a Democrat.
Yeah. I think they might be... I think they might be...
You're stereotyping everybody. Roger?
I think they may be employing a Democratic version of Reagan's 11th Amendment, and that is Democrats don't criticize other Democrats, unless it's in a primary.
President Trump says that when asked by Fox Business News, Maria Bartiromo, because the left now was making this whole thing about Justice Kennedy, all about abortion. You know, we had David Williams on a few moments ago. David says, listen, there's more issues dealing with other areas of Obamacare coming down the pike. States want to do something with that. You've got other areas with overregulation. Medical marijuana or the openization of legal marijuana mm-hmm. may be coming up in front of the Supreme Court. But is it really based on the issue of abortion? President Trump says, hey, I'm not putting a litmus test on any of my guys or gals. A couple females may be appointed next week. But she asked the question. He says, hey, this issue of abortion could be left back to the states.
Are you going to ask your nominees beforehand how they might vote on Roe versus Wade? Because on the campaign trail, you said you would leave it to the states.
Well, maybe someday it will be to the states. You never know how that's going to turn out. That's a very complex question. The Roe v. Wade is probably the one that people are talking about in terms of having an effect. But we'll see what happens. But it could very well end up with states at some point.
Why not have the argument of whether or not it needs to be, I mean, they've inserted this into the Constitution. Why not have the argument should be left back to the states? By the way, you do, as you pointed out, Roger, rightfully so, in hour number one, that even if you wanted to give it back to the states, Roe versus Wade's not being overturned.
Mm.
Because now you have single individual lawsuits by other states. You could have a class action lawsuit. These things may take years down the road.
Right, right. Even if Roe versus Wade is overturned technically.
Which means it gets sent back to the states.
The individual states will probably keep it going of legalized abortion in some form. There may be restrictions more so in the South than you'd see in the Northeast, for example.
So it's not going to be the one magic wand size fits all, because you've got mm-hmm. individual lawsuits on top of individual lawsuits on the issue of abortion. I mean, you've got parental consent laws that are being challenged, parental notification, 24-hour waiting for a judge, minor consent. I mean, mm-hmm. you've got partial birth abortion. So this thing could take years. And I mean, look at the union's thing. This the union decision about whether or not taking taxpayer or your union dues to fund for a candidate, that's been on as an argument for the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah. A lot coming down the pike with the Supreme Court, not just Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more than Roe versus Wade. Right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 North at 103rd Street, there has been a crash, 295 South at Gate Parkway. Broken down car, and apparently the driver went out to get help. They can't find him. 10 South at University, another car with engine trouble this morning.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Are your energy bills increasing? Do some of the rooms in your home seem too warm or too cold? Does your house seem to be humid? These are just three of the questions that help our customers decide if they should repair or replace their air conditioning system. Just log on to SnyderAC.com and take a short quiz. As Jacksonville's leading residential air conditioning company, Snyder wants to help you make the right decision. Repair or replace? It's a question that Snyderman receives every day. Many times your existing air conditioning can run more efficiently with proper maintenance. Then there are times when it becomes more cost-effective by upgrading to a brand new energy-efficient air conditioning system. So take the quiz by going on SnyderAC.com and answer the five simple questions. Repair or replace? The answer is yours to make. With the temperatures rising, you'll want to make sure that your air conditioning system is working properly. That's SnyderAC.com. Call Snyderman today at 641-0600. License number CAC 1813307.
Hot and humid today, then thunderstorms by the afternoon, high around 90, partly cloudy this evening, 76 the low. Currently, it's 77 at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
This week begins a new budget year, $90 billion budget, which includes more money for education here in the state of Florida. But also a lot of, about 105 new laws take effect here in the Sunshine State. One of the big ones, which we've been getting a lot of input on this morning, is about school vouchers. Florida has the nation's first private school voucher program for bullied students. Takes effect this week. It allows students who are victims of bullying or other violence to transfer to a different public school or receive a private school voucher to also. The vouchers will be distributed on first-come, first-served basis. I'd like to ask this question. Teachers or parents, whether it's through personal experience or whether it has also been through what you've heard about or talked about at the water cooler at church, why do parents taking their kids out of a public school into a private school, is it based on school competition? Is it based on the academic learning? Is it based that you don't feel that they're getting enough teaching? Is it based on the teachers? Is it based on teachers' union? Is it based on disciplinary actions? If you had to pick one, what do you believe their parents are taking their kids out of the school and putting them into another school? I want to know what you think at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump is inching toward picking a Supreme Court nominee. Mr. Trump says he'll announce his nominee a week from today. A left-wing anti-establishment candidate has won Mexico's presidential election. Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador enjoyed a sweeping victory on his third try for the office. Poland's recent overhaul of its judicial system has run afoul of the European Union. The EU launching proceedings that could eventually see Poland lose its EU voting rights. Des Moines, Iowa, dealing with the aftermath of severe flooding unleashed by 3 to 8 inches of rain that fell across the region Saturday night. On Wall Street right now, Dow futures are down 184 points, NASDAQ futures off 53, and S&P futures down 15 points, pointing to a lower open later this morning on Wall Street. More details at srnnews.com.
On I-295 going north at 103rd Street, there's a crash involving a truck. 10 East at 295, another accident that's blocking the left side of the highway. And in 295 South at Butler Boulevard, there's another wreck just into us this morning. It'll be warm and humid, a high near 90. Thunderstorms by afternoon, partly cloudy this evening. Overnight below 76, right now 77 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. President Trump says he'll have a Supreme Court nominee by July the 9th. A strong U.S. economy will contribute to the expected rise in travel this holiday week here in Florida, according to AAA. And starting this week, it'll be a brand new budget and dozens of new laws that are poised to take effect here in the Sunshine State.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Eric Cantor was his name.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you know, he's no longer legitimate around. But yeah, that was a big thing. You know, the Republicans defeated one of their own in leadership, and somehow it was the far, far right wing taking over. But yeah, when it happens on the Dems, you know, what's going on here? 222-TALK, 222-8255. One of the big questions we're asking this morning, we've gotten a lot of feedback, a lot of emails, ed@wbob.com, is the, and education's always a big issue, especially here in Jacksonville. A lot of school choicers out there, especially those predominantly in the black community, which I wish would be bragged and talked about more about school choice. Why not? I don't know. But the question is that Governor Rick Scott has signed into law, this is the first nationwide that deals with vouchers about a bullied student. Now, in other words, it's first come, first serve. If you believe your daughter or son is being bullied, you can take them out of that school, send them to another private school of your choice. And by the way, with district boundaries for years, they would never allow you to do that. Or you can send them to a charter school or a private school. Now, this is my question. There's got to be some sort of reports out there, Roger. But if there are documented reports, and to teachers that are listening, or to you as a parent that's had a personal experience with this, or let's say you've had a conversation with other family, friends, and members at church or whoever, what or why do you believe is the number one reason why parents are taking kids out of one school into another public school or charter or school or a private school? Is it, now you can only pick one, is it based on bullying? Is it based on maybe competition for schools? Maybe another school's got nicer, it's a brand new school, got a nicer facility. Is it based on disciplinary actions that the teachers aren't able to disciplinary or discipline children out there? Do you believe it? It's, Roger says, it's probably pretty much the social environment. I understand that as well. Mm-hmm. Or is it that the teachers are not doing their job, some would advocate? I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying, if you had to pick an issue, give me one that maybe we're not talking about. But out of those issues, what do you think, or what have you talked about, or what have you heard is the number one issue where parents would be taking their kids out of the school and put them in another school?
You know what?
A lot of people saying it's discipline.
My mother was a teacher. Your mother was a teacher. Both of us attended private school. At some point, a lot of teachers in the public school system have so much confidence, and I say that facetiously, in the public school system. They take their own kids out, put them in private schools, and there's a reason for it. Maybe more than one reason, but what is the top tier reason? That's a good question.
So let me get to some emails. Amanda says, I could give you a list, but your Pam, but your caller Pam, the educator, nailed it. Lack of disciplinary at home and a lack of teaching respect to others. Charter to get to, she says, other schools do well, like the charter schools. Here's another question I had like to ask. We reported in this story, you've got in the county of Clay County, it is an A-plus county when it comes to schools. A lot of schools are A-rated, and yet there is a third lottery, you know, like a waiting list. You got a first lottery, a second lottery, and a third lottery. Mm-hmm. There is a third lottery of students waiting to go to charter schools. And yet the question I ask, well, wait a second, if a local school in that area is an A-rated school, why is there such a backup for charter schools then?
It's very interesting to wonder, you know, the reason why. You know, I remember I had to take my daughter out of private school, put her in public schools once. And one of the things that I didn't like was the fact that our family values were being undermined by the schools. And I remember my little girl was coming home talking about Halloween and ghosts and goblins and that kind of thing. And I had a personal problem with that. Spoke to the teacher, and she said that, well, I don't think it's going to have any psychological effect.
Really?
Long term. Yeah.
But
these were our values as family. So maybe that's one reason why some parents take their kids out of the public school system.
All right. I kind of understand. All right. I want you to explain that part right there. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Here's one from Michael. He says, when I took my child out of public school at the end of fourth grade, I felt like they were working on his weakness and not his strengths. He's been in Catholic school and he's an A-plus student. My wife is involved in our homework as well. Maybe the question should be reversed in some roles here, Roger, that everybody wants to go after and blame the teacher. Now, we have some bad teachers. I understand that. Mm-hmm. What about the parents? Are we blaming too much on the... Now, I understand the society, but I mean, if you got a top-notch school in an area that you don't have any crime... By the way, is school safety a big issue on that? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got an area where that the school, the teachers are doing well, but if the kids aren't doing well, why is it, maybe we need to reverse the roles here? What about the parents as well? What do you think about that? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Here's one from, here's a funny one. Here's one from Roberta. It's the transgender bathrooms. I don't buy into that one. 222-TALK, 222-8255. President Trump tells Fox Business News Network that the tax cuts, phase two, will take place this year. Hey, Roger, turn up my volume, will you? Turn up my volume for my yeah.
It's up.
What do you want to see happen now? Does the economy need even more stimulus? Are you looking for a phase two tax cut?
We're doing a phase two. We'll be doing it probably in October, maybe a little sooner than that. And it'll be more of a middle class. We did a lot for the middle class, but this will be even more aimed at the middle class. One of the things we're thinking about is bringing the 21% down to 20. And then for the most part, the rest of it would go right to the middle class. It's a great stimulus.
Let me ask a question. If we're going to drop the tax rate, the corporate tax rate, go further from 21 to 20, is that enough? I want to know what you think. A 222-TALK, 222-8255. Is that really enough to stimulate the economy even more? Why not talk a little bit more about individual tax cuts? Why not talk about maybe some more on some of the deductions? Why not talk about maybe a cut in some of the individual when it comes to tax on dividends or the capital gains tax rate? I don't know if the 21 to 20 would do and suffice more of an economic boom.
Well, the president does says that his next round of tax cuts are going to particularly help out the middle class. I'll be curious to see what he wants to do there.
222-TALK, 222-8255. David, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning.
Hey.
My comment was we took our child out of school because they wanted us to drug him. He's hyper, you know, he had a little bit of issues listening, but we refused to drug him, so now we homeschool. We didn't put him into a private school, but we homeschool him now.
How's he dealing with that?
He's doing excellent. He's actually a grade ahead now. We've been homeschooling the last 4 years, and we figured out what works best for him. And he excels now.
So, David, let me ask you a question. So they felt that your child, whatever they deem was wrong, did they make a recommendation or they sit back and say, hey, he can't come back to school unless you drug him?
They made the recommendation, which is, you know, during that first parent-teacher conference, they said, well, you know, your son has some attention issues. We think you need to go talk to your pediatrician about different options that are available for him. So, you know, in other words, they wanted us to drug him. That's how we saw it, and we took him out that day.
Did you, I mean, what if they had a, and I, again, I don't know the situation, what if they had a doctor, and let's say, and I understand the parents, most likely, as you know, you follow your child, which you just pointed out, hey, he's doing fine right now. But what if they sat back and said, no, maybe he needs something, they recommend it in a very polite way. Does that still become very offensive to parents out there? I mean, not that children need to be put on drugs, but what if the doctors have said, hey, this will help things out? And let's say that it could improve their learning situation. You still wouldn't buy into that, right?
Well, if we saw the learning issues at home ourselves, then maybe.
Okay.
We would address that, but, you know, we knew exactly what he needed, and, you know, we got him exercise in the morning. Focused on other things, and then when he sat down to do school, he was good to go.
There you go. David, you just knocked that out of the ballpark. You got the responsibility thing going on, the exercises and things of that nature, and you guys were able to determine on your own. Can you imagine if you had gone down the road of what the school recommended?
He'd probably be a zombie in school, or who knows what would happen, leads to other drugs.
Yeah, good. Dave, thanks for letting me ask questions on that. I didn't want to try to get personal there. I just kind of wanted to follow through, but, you know, because I wanted to know more, okay, what had happened, and, hey, he says, hey, we got exercise going on. By the way, that does set a good routine to exercise
right.
in the morning. Sometimes I can't do mine until later in the morning, but that does set a good routine. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Harry, good morning. You're on WBOB. Yes. What's going on?
Yes, good morning. If you don't have the parents responsible for the actions of the children, the parents are the responsibility. If you don't get that done, everyone wants to leave public schools anyway, really. They want to leave. They just can't. So if the parents are responsible, no one wants to talk about that. No one wants to put the blame where it needs to be, on the parents. Not all parents, but all the discipline problems you have in the school are coming from the parents, from the home. And you want to throw money on this stuff all the time. Money, money, money. It never works. Why don't we keep doing the same thing wrong all over again?
Hey, you know, Harry, I think there are a lot of the listeners who would totally agree with you. Let me ask you this as a follow-up, Harry. Do you believe, and I'm not talking as far as the bad teacher element out there, not all teachers are bad, but when it comes to disciplinary, do you think that they incorporate teachers too much as to be part of the overall blame if their kids aren't being successful enough in schools?
Oh, exactly. The teachers aren't to blame. Please. The teachers are just trying to keep civility in the classroom. It's completely off the chain. If anyone really told the truth, they don't want their kids to go to school there in public schools. The kids don't want to be there. It is a complete disaster. I mean, it's just crazy. So you need to really get teachers off to the side and say, hey, what's going on? No one wants to really talk to them personally. They don't want to talk out in the open. Their jobs are at stake. They don't want to talk bad about their school. Discipline, it's not even, that word doesn't even apply anymore.
All right, Harry, I think a lot of people would agree with you. He's saying, hey, what about the parents?
Right.
There was a bill even coming out, I think it was Kelly Stargell, who's a state senator out of the Polk County area, that wanted to have a school reform bill a couple of years back that wanted to grade the parents.
Right. And very
and
often
that got shot down.
And the teacher salaries and bonuses are based upon student outcome, when it honestly really is not the teacher's fault, at least not 100%. Most of it does come from the parents.
Let me ask a question. I think we barely mentioned it in hour number two, but let me ask it this time around.
Mm-hmm.
What about school safety? I mean, I'm reading emails. Some of you are saying, no, school safety, but I think parents have the attitude, well, it's not going to happen in my school. Well, hopefully it won't.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, the chances are it won't happen at your school. But what if? So, example, let's say that you've got a school district that, hey, I'm on the borderline of a Clay or maybe, Putnam County or St. John's and Duval. St. John's came out, remember, a few weeks back, says, hey, we're going to fund with the school resource officers. Duval County says, well, we don't know if we can afford it. Does school safety become an issue, do you think?
Mm. I don't think historically it has. I think people are kind of in
denial. I agree with you on that, but does it become now an issue?
You know what? I really don't think. I think that most people think these, as terrible and as heartbreaking as they are when we see these school shootings, they always think that it's not going to happen at our school.
Right. But if there's, private schools,
right.
They can get away with having a little bit of concealed weapons permit on some of that stuff.
That's true.
222-TALK, 222-8255. Roger's always kind of been curious. Some of you have been emailing me this morning. You know, Ed, if we're going to grade teachers and students, why don't we grade parents?
Yeah.
That would be more interesting to see that. But how do you grade the parents?
It's difficult to.
No, I mean, what area would you grade them on? How much time do you spend with your children?
Right. Do you help your child with their homework assignment? And, those are good questions.
Yeah, and then I would like to see the parents' response. I don't have time.
Right. A lot of them, I think, honestly, just do not have the skills. Mom dropped out of school in the 10th grade.
Can I ask one other question? Well, come on, not everybody's like that, Roger. I mean, not every mom dropped out of 10th grade.
Certain areas of town, some of the of the inner city schools, the kids, historically do bad. It's because the parents are.
Yeah, but wait a second. Have we not seen success stories through some of the school vouchers programs mm-hmm. where kids have gone to what you just said and they turn around to be bright future scholarships? But let me, if you wanted to grade the parents and things, that I just wonder, give me an area. I wonder what excuses we would have where parents have not been fully implemented. And let me ask this question before we're going to break. What about the new curriculums that we have? Do parents recognize them today than what they might have saw 20, 30 years ago?
Right.
Maybe that's the reason why they're a little, hey, what are they teaching? I mean, you still got a little bit of elements of Common Core there, things like that. I wonder if that sometimes becomes a little bit embarrassing for some of the parents.
It might be.
222-TALK, 222-8255. Always love to hear from you right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
295 South on the Dames Point Bridge. As you head into the south side, there is a crash there. And 295 North at Butler Boulevard, an accident with injuries has emergency responders on the scene.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-613-7416. That's 800-613-7416. 800-613-7416. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. We understand that shopping for jewelry can be a frustrating experience, with everybody claiming they're a gemologist and people using loose quality grading standards. It's also impossible for a layman to be able to judge a gemstone for quality. So all a person can really do is judge the jeweler. Now at Underwoods, we're members of the American Gem Society, where our jewelers are registered and our sales associates and gemologists are certified. We're tested on an annual basis to re-win these professional titles. In fact, the American Gem Society was founded in 1934 to protect the consumer, and members can be thrown out for unethical practices. Underwoods is the longest standing member in the state of Florida. Now, not every jeweler is a member, so if you're shopping for jewelry, ask those common sense questions like, what are your qualifications? Ask to see their education certificates, and ask if they're members of the American Gem Society. And if they're not a member, you might want to ask, why not?
Hello, I'm attorney Kenny Lay of Florida's largest family law firm, Kenny Lay & Associates. We specialize in family law for men. That's all we do. That's our only focus. If you're a man and have questions concerning divorce, child custody, alimony, or any aspect of family law, you can simply visit our website at divorcemenonly.com. That's divorcemenonly.com. Kenny Lay & Associates, men only, family law only. Offices Jacksonville, Fleming Island, Gainesville, and Ormond Beach.
Warm and humid today, and maybe some thunderstorms this afternoon. A high around 90 degrees, partly cloudy this evening, with a low of 76. Right now it's 77 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Starting this week, it'll be a new budget and dozens of new laws that are poised to take effect here in the Sunshine State. President Trump says he'll have a Supreme Court nominee by July the 9th, and a strong U.S. economy will contribute to the expected rise in travel this holiday week here in Florida, according to AAA.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
How good is the economy out there? If you were to invest money into the stock market pre-tax cut, after the tax cut, and even this year with the economy, not the economy's doing well, but the market has been up and down. That's what happens. It's guaranteed to go up and guaranteed to go down. How much of a rate of return could you have made? Here with that news clip, CNBC Seema Modi.
Strategists are still bullish on this market is the reduction in the corporate tax rate. Take a look at this chart. The stock market climbed about 16% in anticipation of the tax cut, then consolidated a bit once we got the final announcement. Overall, S&P 500 has gained 28% since President Trump was elected.
28% since the president got elected.
Tech sector leading the way. It's really been seen as a large beneficiary of the tax cut. That's pushed the Nasdaq on this winning streak, now higher by over 8% in 2018. Small businesses that are more domestically oriented also have been given a boost by this lower tax rate.
Can I ask a question? If the bank locally is giving you less than half of a percent of return, the fixed index annuities aren't really giving you anything out there. Life insurance policies certainly don't give you anything. And you sit back and go, well, I mean, folks, before the tax cut took effect, the overall market, that means if you would have just, it would have been even small, I mean, getting a return on your money, the overall effect, just, I mean, this year alone, even with the ups and downs, has been 8%. And we act, why can't our financial institutions just do a better rate of return for our money?
You know what?
When it comes to investing.
Well, I think they're doing a better rate of return for their money. They're taking
Well, that's been always.
They're taking your money, they're investing it like it's theirs, and then giving you like a little bit off the top.
Has anybody ever asked the question, why is it the banks will turn around and invest your money to the American economy, and their neighbor, they're getting 19% off of a credit card.
Right.
And they turn around and give you 1%. Oh, they can afford it.
Oh, yeah.
If the banks are taking your money, investing to the American economy, getting 8 to 10% rate of return, and they're going to try and give you 1, if you got like a decency with interest rates, I'm inflating the numbers, 2-3%, they're still making a boatload more of money off there.
Absolutely.
So it makes you wonder that, hey, maybe sometimes, you know, Americans don't do a great job of saving money to maybe educate ourselves sometimes when it comes to investing.
I was just going to say, that's probably the biggest tragedy. The average American just is not investment financial market savvy. And I wish they were. The place they go to, the place they have the closest relationship financially, is their bank. Who's going to take their money and then take your profits, which should have been yours, and give it to their stockholders?
I was at Chess Creek's church yesterday. Spike Hogan, who has a great relationship with this network of stations. And they know each other. They do a lot for the Extreme Kids program, helping out kids in urban communities. And, you know, Mr. Epperson does a tremendous job. I mean, but Spike, I go to if I'm not going traveling, I'm up here and I go to his church on a Sunday morning. He does a great job. And I had a good time yesterday. And he mentioned in the pulpit, he said this, that what is it? Less than 50% donates the majority of money to a church. Mm-hmm. I think that number is a little high.
Right.
I mean, for years, even the Pew Research Company says it showed that about, if you're lucky, only about 10 to 20% of your church gives money tithe every week.
Yeah.
God requires 10%. But this is what he said. He says, church, they have several, as they call them, campuses. They have four of them around the area. He says, church attendance, majorly up. Guess what is down? The tithing.
Interesting.
Now, that makes you wonder. Charitable giving is sometimes at an all-time high, and yet people giving to a church, the numbers are down. Why?
Maybe it's ignorance. People just don't understand money and they don't have it, so therefore they're living paycheck to paycheck and they aren't saving for their future. So maybe their entire financial picture is a little bit more dismal than we'd like to
think. Can you imagine if people that go to church, it doesn't matter what faith you are, but you gave more money. Can you imagine what it would do for the local economy? Can you imagine the jobs it could provide for the church?
Mm-hmm.
The church always wants to hire individuals for education. You could hire part-time teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You could hire part-time workers out there because not everybody has time to volunteer. You could also increase the local economy by building projects if you want to add on for maybe to help out charity mm-hmm. groups out there.
Help with education. We were talking about that earlier. A lot of churches operate schools, and they allow their members to either get a discount or even free tuition, depending on the situation in the school.
Yeah, and somebody's going to be emailing me, I'm not a member of Chess Creek Church. Spike Hogan just does a great job. I visited some other churches out there. I got more to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I just really enjoyed some of his teaching out there. I've never gone to church for the music. I'm sorry. That is so overrated in my book. All right. I don't need to hear a verse 18 times. All right. And things of that nature. I'm just sorry. It's just, you know. But anyways, 222-TALK-222-8255. Roger, a lot of emails. People have been emailing me today on the issue of education and things of that nature. The reason why that they sent is we've been asking the questions. Why are the majority of parents out there, if they're taking their kids out of a public school and send them to another public school, or if they're taking kids out of the public school and send them to a private school, is it better education? Do you blame the teachers? Is it because of disciplinary? I've got a boatload of emails. A lot of people think it's the disciplinary. I've got teachers that are saying, hey, I've got people in my profession that are close to retirement, cannot wait because they do not feel that the schools are looking out for them when it comes to disciplinary. We asked the question. We had a school teacher call in hour number two, and I've always said, what was the breakdown? Roger, you and I, were still relatively young. When we went to school, you got in trouble. The principal had the final discretion.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, we get a hearing from a school board. If that doesn't happen, well, it's like HR. You're not happy with the manager? We'll go to the general manager. You're not happy with the general manager? We'll go to operations manager. You're not happy with them? We'll go to the regional manager out there. So, I mean, we've gotten, some would say, the emails this morning, we've gotten too lax on education as well, but especially when it comes to discipline.
And discipline covers a whole range of things from the classroom environment to peer pressure. Do you come home and your kid now thinks that, you know, drugs may be something cool they're being introduced, even if that's not necessarily happening during the classroom setting? So I think discipline is probably a big issue.
Are you going to ask your nominees beforehand how they might vote on Roe versus Wade?
Can you imagine if the president was going to ask his nominees, but yet the left says, no, we want to know where they stand on these issues?
Because on the campaign trail, you said you would leave it to the states.
Well, maybe someday it will be to the states. You never know how that's going to turn out. That's a very complex question. The Roe v. Wade is probably the one that people are talking about in terms of having an effect. But we'll see what happens. But it could very well end up with states at some point.
Could be left to the states at some point. That would be the biggest shockwave in politics over the last 40 years.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe Trump winning in 2016, which was great. 222-TALK, 222-8255, TALK Radio, WBOB.
On I-295 South on the Dings Point Bridge, there has been a crash. 295 North at Butler Boulevard, another accident this morning. And if you're on I-10 headed toward town, we're seeing backup starting at around Cassett Avenue.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Gal Thomas.
In one of its final decisions for this session, the Supreme Court last week told labor unions they cannot require fees from their members. The 5-4 majority ruled government workers who choose not to join unions may not be required to help pay for collective bargaining. The majority opinion, written by Justice Sam Alito, said forcing workers to finance union activity violates the First Amendment in that it compels non-members to subsidize private speech on matters of substantial public concern. The ruling means public sector unions, already under political pressure, could lose tens of millions of dollars and see their effectiveness diminished. Good, and it's about time. The ruling will substantially affect the Democrat Party because unions give large amounts of money to Democrats. This will certainly level the playing field and reduce the power of the left, which faces even more power reductions, assuming a solid conservative is named to the court to replace retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy. All in all, it's been a very good Supreme Court session. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety, and it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. We are J. David Tax Law, a local law firm right here in Jacksonville. Your first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. At J. David Tax Law, only experienced tax attorneys will represent you, and our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Warm and humid today and thunderstorms by the afternoon. We'll have a high of around 90 degrees this evening. Expect the low to drop to about 76 degrees and right now 77 at WBOB.
All right, 4th of July, man. We're going to by the way, tomorrow I've got to be at the Flagler County. They got a big cook-off. I got to judge that thing again. So okay. People buying me off with dessert and pies. The only problem is I got to walk another 5 miles on top of that, but it's a great thing. We're